emotions. How many of you throughout this series, how many of you have become more aware of your emotions just on a day-to-day basis? You're like recognizing it. How many of you still have no clue what your emotions are doing? Hey, here's the truth. The truth of the matter is that I tell you what's crazy about this is, you know, this is one of those areas where we're preaching on it, we're talking about it, we're really trying to put it in your heart as to how to make decisions and allow your emotions not to lead you and whatnot. But in light of that, can I tell you, this is one of those areas you're never going to master. You'll only get better at it. How many of y'all believe that? You're never going to master it. I can tell you for me, I'll give you an example of this. Within the last year, I was coming out of the Walmart Plaza, which you already know I need prayer. All right. Well, I'm coming out of the Walmart Plaza. I'm right there at Advanced Auto, getting ready to pull out of there on the 22. Everybody knows where I'm at, right? I'm getting ready to pull, and there's this truck in front of me, and this truck has this big box in the back of their truck. And we're sitting there, and I pull up behind them, and all of a sudden, the light turns green, and the light's green for a while, and the light turns red. Now, if you don't know me, I know it's probably hard to tell, but how many of you know I'm passionate about getting where I'm going? I don't know if you guys are this way, but here's the way I am. Let's not sleep through green lights. It's hard enough to find one around here anyway. All right? So let's not sleep through those. So the light turns green and then it turns red. Now, by this time, I'm like over it. And now the light turns green again. And the car in front of me is just sitting there. And I'm like, you know, and let me just give you my view of a horn. A horn is a communication device. Michelle and I, we go at it about the horn, because if I'm driving, I use it. If Michelle's driving, she's like, don't draw attention to us. I'm like, no, we need attention drawn to us, because apparently people aren't obeying. Can I get a witness in here at all? Does anybody else have this issue? Michelle gets on me all the time, because I look at it as an extension of my voice. Beep says something. Beep, beep says something too. Just being real. All right. So I'm on the horn and I'm like, come on, man. You know, finally we pull over or pull out onto the road and we pull out and lo and behold, they take the right lane. I take the left lane because I'm let's go. I pull out and lo and behold, I look over and there it is. They're in the third service, typically. I've known him ever since I was in high school. His name's Jared Rails, and he sits right over there, typically in the third service. Great dude, great family. Their kids go to Taylor. We've known each other for a long time. And I'm like, oh, God. Oh, Lord. And I know what you're thinking. Well, what did you learn in that? Drive Michelle's car. That's what I learned in all that. Drive Michelle's car. No, but I was just like, and all the way to Greentown, I'm thinking, oh, Charlie, why can't you just calm down? What? It's just a stinking light. Why are you so wound up over just a stoplight? I don't know. I was so struggling with it, though. So my point is to say, in all that, is to say that, you know, you're never going to master it all. You're never going to master all your emotions. You're never going to take care of it, you know. Actually, the next week at church, I was like, Jared, I'm sorry, dude. I'm so sorry, man. I was honking at you. I'm sorry. He's like, hey, man, no problem. It just, I had been up for like 48 hours straight, you know, and that. Come on, y'all know what I'm saying. I felt like this big. I'm like, Jared, I'm so sorry, man. He goes, yeah, I was just out buying the kids a place thing, you know, to play on. And, you know, and you're the jerk behind me honking the horn. Ruined the whole experience. I just felt so dumb because I could not control my emotions. And here's the reality. The reality is you're never going to master it, guys. You're never going to master it. There's going to be days where you wake up and you blow it. There's going to be days. But that is no reason to give up on it. That is no reason to say, well, it just doesn't matter. No, it does matter. And the way you govern your emotions does matter. And the way you govern how you think does matter. All those things matter. And you're not going to arrive. You're never going to reach a place, where you're like, oh, I'm done. It's all good. No, you're always going to have those areas where you're going to be looking at to make adjustments. How many of y'all agree with that? So it's okay if you blow it. If you blew it this last week, Pastor Charlie, listen, I can tell you from a pastor's perspective or from my perspective, anything I preach on, I'm going to get tested in. Right? You remember when I started this series out, the night before I'm supposed to preach on this stuff, the dog chewed up my $100 Bose headphones and my shoes. I don't even know, you're going to get tested. Yeah, that same dog last night tested me. But anyway, I will go on. But listen to this. Here's what we've been talking about. 3 John chapter 1, verse 2. Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things. How many of you believe that's God's will for your life? That you would prosper in all things and be in health. God wants you to be healthy, and he wants you to prosper in all things. Now, that's not prosperity gospel. That's the Bible. That's what the Bible says, that you would prosper and that you would be in health. That's what God has for you. Now, listen to this. But it's according to the next part. Can't take it out of context. Just as your soul prospers. Remember, what is the soul? The soul is the mind, the will, and the emotions. Your mind, will, and emotions need to prosper or be healthy. Your soul, mind, will, and emotions must be whole for you to experience everything that God has. If your soul, your mind, your will, or your emotions, if they go rogue, I'm telling you, you're not going to experience everything that God has for you. It will short circuit the power of God. You can have the right mind, but if your emotions are in the ditch, it's going to pull your mind with it. Follow me? Your mind, will, and emotions will go down to the lowest denominator. Whichever one is feeling the worst, your mind, if your mind's in the gutter, get your emotions and your will end up there. If your will is in the gutter, your emotions and your mind will end up there. Whatever one is the lowest, oh, there's a better way to say it. Whichever one's the lowest, guess what? All of them are coming down to it. You get what I'm saying? So it's important that we make our soul prosperous and our soul is healthy and strong. Here's what I left you with, a couple of slides that I left you with last week. How we think, our thoughts, how I feel, our feelings and emotions determines what I do. And we've all made decisions where we've allowed our feelings to get the best of us, right? Christmas is coming up. Pray now that your feelings don't get the best of you. Well, I'm going to show them up with my gift. You'll be broke. They don't even like you. Okay. I'm sorry. How you think, your thought life, how you think, and how I feel determines how you make decisions. It's not just what you think. A lot of people know the right thing, but they do the wrong thing because their feelings become a part of the equation. And it's not just what you feel. You've got to think along those lines too. You've got to combine the thinking and the feeling to understand how you should do. If you can get your thinking and your feeling under control, you'll see God move in your life in a greater level. Say, well, Pastor Charlie, what are the things or what happens? Why do we not see God moving in our life? Here it is. You ready? If you're taking notes, you can write this down. It's pretty good, I think. Our emotions can limit God's ability in our life. Our emotions can limit God's ability in our life. Do you believe that? I believe that with all my heart. Your emotions can get so wound up that you limit God in your life. Absolutely. Check this out. This is why is that verse not coming up? It's 2 Corinthians. I don't know why they're marking in there. But anyway, nevertheless, we walk by faith and not by sight. How many of you know that's in the Bible? All right. For we walk by what? faith and not by sight. Now, last week I kind of left off here at that verse and I said, you know, it is so important that we understand that you're either walking by faith or by sight. It's one or the other. It's either by faith or by sight. Now, let me explain something to you. Whenever it says sight there, it's not talking about walking by your eyes. It's talking about walking according to the natural things of this earth. You've got your eyes on the natural things. You've got your eyes on what's going on this planet. So much that it's robbing your faith. Can I tell you the truth? You cannot look at the world and stay in faith at the same time. You can't do it. Think about it. If the only thing you listen to and see and hear is what's going on this planet, you will absolutely lose faith and lose heart. Perfect example. Several years ago, I had a lady come into our church. She was a sweet lady, retired from Delphi, was really set for life. She lived over there in, I messed it up earlier, Cedar Crest. I keep calling it Maple Crest, Cedar Crest, Tornado Alley. Sitting over there. And she was retired. One of the things she loved is she loved new cars. Every time she got a new car, she'd bring it by the church for me to see it. She knows I was into cars, you know. And so she would bring by her new car, and I'd go out and see it and say hi to her. And, you know, and she just kept coming to church, sweet lady. And but every time we would talk, all she was wound up with was the news. Always the news. What's going on? CNN said, MSN said, Fox said, so-and-so said. And I mean, after a while of being around her, I recognized that this is the pattern of her life. This is what she does. When she's not either at church or hanging out with somebody, she is watching the news. And I could tell she just constantly wound up about it. And I told her, I said, listen, this is not good for you. You should not be just plugged into that. And I tried to reason with her. I said, listen, a lot of what you see on TV, they're making news. They're not telling you the news. They're making news. That's what they're doing. They're not there to tell you what's going on. They're telling you how to feel about what's going on. Yeah, preach on, Pastor. And I said, so you, at some point, you got to understand, you got to unplug yourself from that because it's not good for you. It's not good for you. And she just going on and on and on. Well, right after 2008, 2009 election, I get a phone call, had to go to her house. She committed suicide. And I tried to tell her, you can't put yourself in that place. Because I told her, I said, listen, Jesus is still Lord no matter what goes on. And maybe this is for somebody today. Jesus is still King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Right? He's got the whole world. Do we need to go there? Come on, how many of y'all hear what I'm saying? No matter who's in the White House or who's in my house or who's in the State House or who's the governor, mayor, whatever, how many of you know none of that matters? Now, we pray for those and we fight evil when evil, you know, comes and all that. But I feel like, you know, we're just rearranging chairs on the Titanic. That's just how I feel about it. I will go on to say this. And some people got guns and are putting holes in the boat. Okay? So my point is this. You cannot live with your eye on that. And I'm not just talking about politics. It could be your bills. It could be your finances. It could be you can't allow what the world is going on, because the world system is set up by the enemy and it's meant to discourage you and it's meant to rob you from faith. It's set up that way. It's set up to discourage you. And the more you tune into that world, the more you're going to find yourself frustrated and aggravated. But the more you set your eye on not what is seen, but is unseen, the more you set your eye on faith and walking by it instead of what you see, the happier, the more blessed you'll be, I promise you. Come on, amen? I mean, it was a terrible thing that I had to go to this lady's house. Terrible thing. Because had she just focused on Jesus, had she just focused on God, had she just focused on the things of God, had she just realized that God says no matter what your hands touch shall prosper, no matter what happens, had she just realized some of the things that the Bible says about faith, How many of you know if you'll walk by faith, you don't have to walk by sight? But too oftentimes we let the world suck the faith right out of us, man. It just sucks faith right out of us. And I'm here to tell you, don't live that way. You will be frustrated. You will be irritated. You'll be aggravated. You'll be on Facebook. You'll be on this. You'll be on that. Constantly just worry. Hey, listen, how many of you know Jesus is still on the throne? Yes. He's on the throne. That's all you need to know. That's all I need to know, right? I just believe that with all my heart. See, here's the reality. When we allow ourselves to get in that place, our emotions can limit God's ability in our life. God is unlimited. But if we limit God with our perspective and are focusing on what the world is doing, how many of you know you're not going to see God move in your life? You're not going to. And what it begins really a death spiral all the way down to the bottom. But here's the reality. The reality is I, as your pastor, do not want you just focusing on what's going on this planet. I want you to walk by faith so that your emotions don't rob you from God's ability in your own life. And we have all kinds of Bible examples of people being robbed of what God wanted to do in their life because they let their emotions get too involved and they begin to walk by what they saw instead of by faith. Say, give me an example, Pastor Charlie. I'm so glad you asked. I just happened to have prepared one. Here's the truth. How many of you know the 10 spies? 10 and 12. Moses comes out. They come out of the greatest military force in the world. They just defeated. Moses did. And he did it by not lifting a finger. The only thing he did was lifted up a rod. And how many of you know God did the rest? They didn't have to do anything. And they defeated the greatest military force in the world with a stick and a dude that stuttered. Y'all hear what I'm saying? God pulled them out, gets them out there in the wilderness. The Bible says, you know the story as well as I do. They begin to grumble and gripe and complain. Finally, they get over there to the promised land. It's a 10-day journey. It takes them 40 years to get to the promised land. Dudes were leading. That's all I'm going to say about that. All right. Just going to say that. I'll move. Women, I figured the dudes laughed. I figured you'd say amen. Threw me for a loop. Anyway. All right. So get this. So 40-day journey. They get into it 11 days. Next thing you know, they send out spies into the promised land. The spies come back. 10 come back. I'll read it to you. It's found in Numbers chapter 13. Here's what it says. Then Caleb quieted the people before Moses, and he said, "Let us go up at once and take possession, for we are well able to overcome it." Look at this. But the men who had gone up with him said, "We are not able to come up against the people, for they are stronger than we are." You have faith? And you have people setting their eyes on the world. You have faith, and you have people that are setting their eyes on the natural things of this earth. And look who won. The people who doubted and had fear won. Listen to this. God brought them out of Egypt. God was going to bring them into the promised land. Who's to say that the same staff that led them and beat the Egyptians would not lead them into the promised land and set them free there? Right? But Moses, which I believe was an act of unbelief, first of all, God never told him to send out spies. That was Moses' knuckleheaded idea. If God said, take the land, we should have said, take the land. Right? Right? You ever do some things and not tell your kids? We're going here. Why? Well, I don't know yet. If I know what I'm saying, all right? Because you know if they find out, oh, great, now we got to deal with all that, all right? So no, he gets them, sends out, two came back with an evil report. We can't do it. Or I'm sorry, two came back with a good report, Joshua and Caleb. Joshua and Caleb came back and said, we can take it, let's go, let's do it, let's go. Do you know they were the only two that survived all the way to inherit the promised land? And the other 10 died in the wilderness. I mean, this upset God so bad. This is the only place this is found in the Bible. Only place God found, you can find this in the Bible, where God says this. Oh, there we go. Okay. My iPad. But I had to choke it. All right. It's the only place. Look at this. Now, to whom was he angry for 40 years? I mean, talk about not getting over something. You guys think your spouse is bad. God has an issue for 40 years with them, and he's not done until they die. How many of you know that's not getting over something? It takes them to die for God to move on. And finally, they die in the wilderness. Look, now to whom he was angry for 40 years, was it not those who sinned, whose corpses fell in the wilderness? And to whom did he swear that they will not enter into my rest, but those who did not obey? Look at this last part. So we see that they could not enter in because of what? Because of unbelief. Have you ever wondered, how did that unbelief get there? Well, they sent out spies. The spies saw, living by what they see, saw there were giants in the land. They came back and said, there are giants in the land. There's no way we could possibly do it. The task is too big. There's no way. They counted God right out of the equation. And you know what? They died in the wilderness because of it. Because, watch this, they allowed their emotions and their thinking to limit God. It wasn't God that was limited. God took them out. He could have brought them in. But it was their thinking and their emotions that said, God can't. They got into fear. They got into doubt. They got into unbelief. They got into dread. They got into all those things. And can I tell you, that is exactly what the enemy would like to set up for you and I. He would like us to get into fear, like us to get into dread. He wants us to walk and live by sight and not by faith. Not by faith. And I'm here to tell you, the opposite is true. You should be walking this thing out by faith. You should be believing God for the things that are unseen. I told Michelle just a few years ago, going all the way back to Bible college, I've always felt like I need to be believing God for something that you can't see. And I've heard people use the illustration of a chair. You know, they bring up a chair and they say, faith is like, you know, you're blindfolded and you sit down on a chair. Yeah, but the chair's there. Faith is blind. Faith is not going by what you sense, or faith is going by what God says and what his word says about things. You hear what I'm saying? And so I'm one of those guys, I got to constantly be believing God for something. Always. Always. No matter where I'm at, no matter what I'm doing. But last year, I told Michelle, I said, okay, it's time. I'm kind of getting bored. I need to be believing God for something. I need to be believing God for something. At the same time, the church, you know, is at a place where we need to make some decisions about what we're going to do in the future and all that. So about last year, I started down this path. And within the last several months, here's what we've been doing here at the church. Because I'm believing God. Here's what. Number one, if you look across the street, there's a church across the street. Behind that church, there's about, if you take that sliver of that land, as wide as the church, and go all the way back to the field there's about 8.5 acres there. I got a hold of Mr. Hewitt. I said, Mr. Hewitt, we could really use some more land. Our parking is a pain. Come on, if you know, you got to have faith to come to our church, praise God. You ain't getting out of the parking lot without faith. And emotions? I feel you, all right? So get this. So we contacted him, and so we're going to be buying that land here in just a few weeks, really, hopefully within the next couple months. And now get this. And at the same time, I've got an architect drawing up a new building on the other side of the property here. So the whole building that you see now will be turned into kids' ministry. There's 23,000 square foot of our facility now. This will become the kids' sanctuary and the youth sanctuary. And then the kids' classrooms will be down there in the gym. And then you'll come off of the gym into a big foyer. And then the building, I want to say, is 115 by 220 or something like that. 22-foot tall ceilings. Seat 998 people in it. All those things. You say, well, Pastor Charlie, what's that got to do with faith? Hey, I'm believing for the unseen. I'm believing for the unseen. Because I get bored. I feel like you got to constantly be challenging yourself with the unseen. All right? Why? Because if I don't, I start focusing on what I can see. And when I focus on what I can see, then I begin to limit God. But as long as I keep my faith in a place where I'm believing for something that I cannot see, I feel like I'm focused on God, because it's only his power, his spirit that can fulfill all that. Come on, y'all hear what I'm saying? And I think we should all live that way. I think we should all live believing God for the unseen. And sometimes that causes us to do crazy stuff, y'all. Crazy things that other people look at and go, what? Hey, listen, how many of you know faith will cause you to do things that no one else understands? I remember one time I was believing God for a new car. Anybody ever been there? Believing God for a new car? Believing God for a new car. And I felt like the Lord told me, clean out your garage and clean out the car. I'm like, well, if I'm going to get rid of this one, I need to clean it out. Number two, if I'm going to believe for a new one, I should clean out a spot for it. Now, it may sound silly, but it was a small step of faith that showed God and moved me on my heart to bring my faith to a completion where I was acting on what I believed. Y'all hear what I'm saying? Absolutely. That's one of the reasons, as the church here, that's one of the reasons we haven't paved our parking lot. It's not because we love gravel. It's because over the last year, we've been laying out that new building, and I didn't know exactly where that building was going to sit. So why pave it and then have to come back and tear it up? I mean, we're not the government. Okay, I'll stop. I need to stop. That was funny, though, wasn't it? That was funny. You're the only service that got that. All right. Here's the truth. When it comes to walking by faith and not by sight, here's what you need to know. It is a skill that you develop over a lifetime. You'll never master it. You just get better at it. Amen? You just get better at it. You get better and better at it. And I'm going to give you three ways in which this is me personally. These are three ways in which I allow God to move through me and allow me to walk by faith and not by sight. Are you ready? You ready for them? I'm going to give them to you. Number one, you ready? Here, you have to yield and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Yield and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Here, it's on purpose. Yield and be filled with the Holy Spirit. If I'm going to walk by faith and not by sight, I can't allow my flesh, my eyes, what I see, taste, touch, feel, and sense to lead me. Because it's a part of this earth which has fallen. It's just like that lady I was telling you about who committed suicide. She dwelt way too much on the things she could see instead of the unseen. And because of that, she ended up in a very negative place at the end of her life, when really the rest of her life was really set up for ease and comfort. But she allowed those things to get on the inside of her. Here's the truth. Yield and be filled with the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to give it to you just like this. Listen to this. This is Galatians chapter 5. This is the amplified version of it. It says this, but I say walk and live, come on, help me out, habitually. All right, do you guys see a little word right there? What's that word? Habit. But I say walk and live habitually. Walk and live as a habit. What? In the Holy Spirit. Where is the Holy Spirit at? Okay, we got about 20% saying in us and everybody else. All right, I don't know. Hey, how many of you know the Holy Spirit lives on the inside of you? Yeah, he lives on the inside. If you've accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, the Holy Spirit lives on the inside of you. Amen? Greater is he who's in you than he who is in the world. Absolutely. So, but I say walk and live habitually as a habit in the Holy Spirit. Listen to this. Responsive and controlled and guided by the Spirit. Responding not to the world, responding not to people's emotions, responding not to my feelings, not to my emotions, but responding habitually as a habit to the Holy Spirit. I want to respond to the Holy Spirit. I don't want to respond to my flesh. I don't want to respond to other people. I want to respond to the Holy Spirit. I want to let the Holy Spirit lead me and guide me. I know if I allow the Holy Spirit to lead me, then I'm not going to be in the flesh. I'm not going to make dumb decisions. I'm not going to do stupid stuff to some degree. I'm not going to do it. I'm going to allow the Holy Spirit to lead me. And really, this is about me yielding to him. Me saying, Holy Spirit, lead me. Listen to this. Be led by the Holy Spirit. Then you will certainly not gratify the cravings or the desires of the flesh, of human nature without God. Listen to this. If I walk in the Spirit, if I allow the Holy Spirit to lead me and guide me, then my flesh loses power. Then the things that I see loses power in my life. The things that I feel loses power because the Holy Spirit's leading and guiding me. I'm going to yield to the Holy Spirit. Say, Pastor Charlie, how do you yield to the Holy Spirit? I'm going to give you one of the ways. One, there are many, but I'm going to give you one of the ways in which I yield to the Holy Spirit. And that is simply by doing this. And listen to this. It says, beloved, building yourself up in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. Now, I know that in a church our size, you have people from all kinds of different backgrounds and religious beliefs. I understand that completely. I came from a diverse background, Catholic, Baptist, Methodist, all that. Get it, understand it, got it. Please don't take this as anti-anybody, but I will tell you one of the keys for me in allowing the Holy Spirit to lead my life was when I realized that the Holy Spirit wanted to fill me to the point where I pray in tongues, all right? Or as the Bible calls it, pray in the Holy Spirit. I pray in tongues. Now, I know what some of you are like. Oh, no, here we go. He just arrived off the mothership. No, I'm normal. Well, sort of. But that was not the right thing to say. but here's the truth. Here's the truth. When I was a kid, I was taught that tongues was of the devil. And then as I grew up, I thought that people that spoke in tongues were weird. And I've heard it all, guys. I've heard that it's not for today. I've heard all that stuff. Now, here's my point. I'm just telling you about how I yield to the Holy Spirit. The Bible says there are so many benefits to praying in tongues. And some of those things simply are, as you pray the perfect will of God. As you pray, your spirit prays. But one of the things in Jude, it says, but beloved, building yourself up in the most holy faith, building your faith up by praying in tongues. You build your faith by praying in tongues. See, it is possible not to be fruit, flake, or nut and pray in tongues. Yes. All right? So listen to this. Whenever I yield to the Holy Spirit, one of the ways in which I do that is I pray in the Spirit. I pray in tongues. Now, I know some of you may think, well, not everybody has that gift. That's talking about the corporate gift where tongues and interpretation must be present. But the truth of the matter is everyone can be filled with the Holy Spirit and have a prayer language of tongues. Everyone can have that. Now, hear me out on this, all right? It's one of the ways in which I yield to the Holy Spirit, because the only way I'm going to pray in tongues is if I yield to Him. I allow Him to pray through me. And I'll be honest with you, I pray in tongues more than I pray in English. Say, well, Pastor Charlie, why is that? Well, the Bible says, don't you know, we don't know really how we ought to pray as we ought, but the Holy Spirit actually will lead us and lead us how to pray. And it says with groans and utterings that we can't utter. Talking about praying in tongues. So yes, I pray in the Spirit. I pray in tongues. And here's what I found. When I yield and then I'm filled by praying in tongues, man, the Holy Spirit, he is alive on the inside of me. He's flowing through me. And the more I do that, the more He's flowing through me, the more I find myself in a place where anytime I need Him, He's there flowing through me. So I'll be praying in the Spirit. Before I came up here to preach, I was praying in tongues right at the end of worship. Lord, Lord, fill me, you know, let me walk out of myself and walk into Your presence and give the people what they need to encourage them and bless them. I'm yielding to the Holy Spirit. I want the Holy Spirit to have His way, because it isn't Chuck. It isn't Charlie. How many of y'all hear that? It isn't me. It's the Holy Spirit that does the work, right? You don't set people free by charisma. You don't set people free by great personalities. You don't set people free by any of that. It is the Holy Spirit that does the work. He receives all the glory for what we do here. Amen? It's He that does the work. So one of the ways in which I do is I just yield to the Holy Spirit and allow Him to fill me, and I pray in the Spirit. And if you have never been filled with the Holy Spirit and you desire to pray in tongues, then after service, come down. The altar team will pray for you. And if you don't receive today, just keep praying and believing. I promise God will fill you with His Holy Spirit. Now, I will tell you this too, that maybe you're out there and you're like, I like the Holy Spirit. That's all cool, but I'm not one to pray in tongues. Well, shame. No, of course not. That's okay. Grow in your faith. Don't worry about what other people say about everything else, even me. You grow in your faith, and when the Lord needs you to have that, you'll get it. Is that fair? And maybe you never have a heart to believe for that. That's okay. Nobody's mad. I'm not upset. I'll still pastor you and love you. Is that all right? Is that all right? Is that all right? Come on. Hey, there are churches out there that if you want to be a part of their church, you better speak in tongues or you're going to hell. You guys, I'm not kidding. And that's exactly why those things have a bad, bad, bad taste in some people's mouths. Right? And that's unfortunate because that's a shame. Because it's one of the ways in which we yield and allow God to fill us with His Spirit. Amen? Amen? All right, so here's number two. If you're taking notes, write this down. You have the power to bind and loose. You have the power to bind and loose. This is Matthew chapter 16. It says this, "And I will give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever you bind on earth shall be what? Bound on in heaven, and whatsoever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." I like the Amplified a little bit better on this, but here's what I want you to hear, and here's what it sounds like. Here's what that verse sounds like. It sounds like if I bind something on earth, then it's bound in heaven. Like I'm running heaven. Right? How many of you know I ain't running heaven? How many of you know you're not running heaven? If you read it in the Amplified, it corrects it and it says, you can bind in the earth. And whatever is already loosed in heaven, you can loose in the earth. Come on, do y'all hear the difference? See, the truth of it is, in heaven, God has bound up depression. It has no place. Do you believe that? Do you believe there are people up there taking Prozac? Okay, here's the truth. God bound it up. There is no depression in heaven. So I can bind up depression over my life or over my family's life and command that thing to go, knowing that God has my back on what I say. Right? How many of you know there's not anger in heaven? There's nobody going, "Stupid streets of gold. You're stupid." Come on, how many of you know there ain't nobody doing that? If so, somebody will kick him in the shin. But there is none of that going on. Nobody's mad in heaven. So watch this. I can bind up anger and send it away from my life. I bind anger. If I start getting mad, I bind that thing in Jesus' name and I command it to go. We've always thought of this verse only talking about binding up devils. But the context is not even about demons or devils. The context is whatever you bind on earth is bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth is loose in heaven. If you'll find out what heaven has bound, you can bind that thing on the earth. And if you find out what's loosed in heaven, how many of you know prosperity is loosed in heaven? Yes. How many of you know healing is loose in heaven? How many of you know you can loose that? Remember what Jesus said. "Our Father, who is in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on as it is in." That verse is all about whatever's going on in heaven, God wants that done in the earth. And you have the power to bind and loose here on the earth. Come on, amen? So can you bind up depression and send it away? Mm-hmm. Can you bind up anger and send it away? Yeah. And then you loose the spirit of joy. I like that one. I loose the spirit of joy over my life. Right? I want joy to where it's oozing out of me. Like it sloshes. You know what I'm saying? Right? Say, why is that? The joy of the Lord is our strength. Of course. Be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Right? One of the ways is loose joy over my life. Loose finances over my life. Loose blessings over my life. Come on, right? How many of you know God is not going to honor loose depression over their life? I don't even know if that's not going to work. Absolutely not. No way. See, you have the power to bind and loose. It's called the believer's authority. You have authority, and you should use it, praise God. All right, here's the last one. Last one. If you're taking notes, write this one down. You need to meditate on God's word. If you're going to walk by faith and not by sight, you can't be meditating on everything the world says and does. You can't do that. You've got to meditate on what God says and what God does. You got to meditate on those. Here's your challenge this week, and I'm not done yet here in a couple hours. But here's the truth. You ready? Your challenge this week is to begin to recognize how much of your thought life is not centered around God. Here's my point, and this is not to depress you or get you into fear or anything. But most people, not everyone, Most people don't think about God until they're getting ready for church. And I'm not saying that to slam anybody. I'm just saying we've got 7 days and we think about God 2 hours and we think that's going to set us free. And the truth of the matter is you've got to become a habitual meditator on God's word to see God fulfill righteousness, peace, and joy in your life. You can't think about all the world has going on. It'll depress you all the time. You've got to think about the things of God and the thing that, how many of you know Jesus is still God? Yes. He is on the throne. He is King of kings and Lord of lords, and he will be forever. Yes. And the Bible says that word, that 66 books that you read, heaven and earth shall pass away, but his word shall not pass away. Amen? Amen. So we can put our faith in it and know that God will honor our faith. So now check this out. I love what Joshua 1:8 says. It says this, but the book of the law, the Bible, shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, and it, that you may observe to do according to what is written in it. For then you will make your way what? Prosperous, and then you will have good what? Success. Listen to this. I want you to see this. It says, you shall meditate in it day and night. Now watch what it says. For then you will make your way. Listen to it. It doesn't say God will make your way. It says, then you will make your way. You will make your way. The point is, when you meditate on God's word, it changes you. And when it changes you, then it, what you've meditated on, makes your way prosperous and good success. It changes you, changes your perspective, changes your reality, changes your the way you're looking at life, changes you on the inside. How? When you meditate. See, when you meditate, it's not, you know, Middle Eastern, that's demonic and not God. How many of you know that? That'd wear me out. That'd make me want to slap people right there. Everybody, right? I don't even like it when my kids go, Do that for, y'all hear? Am I the only one? Here's the reality. You ready for this? You ready? You meditate on God's word when you allow his word to go in you, and then you keep it there. Keep it right there. One of the things I used to do in Bible college is I would carry a scripture in my pocket so I could think about it until I'd memorize it. You know, most people say, well, I can't memorize. Well, you know your phone number. You know your Facebook password. I love you. Come on. You know all these things, but you, no. Allow. And I'll tell you, one of the greatest things you could ever do is take the word in whatever area you're struggling in, take a promise and apply that and run that and meditate on that all the time. So if you're depressed, God has not given me a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind. I'm going to meditate on that all day, all night, all day, all night. Last night when the dog got up, three, about to choke him in the woods. Oh, yeah. Yeah, it was one of them nights. The Lord gives them peaceful sleep whose mind is stayed upon thee. Lord, I'd love to lay down after I shoot that dog. Go on, you might know what I'm saying. Do I got any dudes here? I understand. It's like I could pick him off at 100 yards easy, man. I'll do it right here. So, no, here's the truth, though. You can't allow yourself to get all well. You got to keep your mind. You got to keep yourself. Next week, you don't want to miss next week. We're going to talk about walking in peace because that's a huge part as to how God leads your heart. All right? So now, here's the bottom line. Whenever it comes to walking by faith and not by sight, you got to understand this. You want to yield and be what? Filled with the Holy Spirit. You want to understand the power of binding and loosing. And you want to what? Meditate on God's word. Your challenge this week is to meditate on his word, to see how much do you really meditate on his word. And when you find your mind drifting, find your mind just wandering out there, bring it back and meditate on God's word. Say, Pastor Charlie, I don't know any of God's word. Get you a Bible. We give them for free before you leave. We got it. You can take it with you, man, and we'll get you full of God's word. Amen? Amen. All right. Are you blessed? Give the Lord a big clap. Praise God. I'm done.